Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona with another installment of Stephen Anderson Exposed. Let's jump right into this.
It's just like something that woke me up around 12:30 this morning on a video, getting text messages at 12:30 this morning. I watched them because I want to say, what's being sent to me? I got to see what this is. And, you know, of course, it was Steve Anderson saying that repentance is works and all that type of stuff, even though the Bible says that repentance is part of salvation. But we've got these Christian, supposed Christians. I shouldn't call them Christians. In fact, I shouldn't call most people in this world today Christians, anybody, because there's hardly anybody in this world that, especially those that are saved, that act like Christians. Because a Christian is someone who acts like Christ. In their walk, their talk, their attitude, everything about them is the way that Christ would be.
Everything about them is the way that Christ would be, is what he just said. So he's basically saying that, you know, we can't call people Christian now. We shouldn't call, especially people who are saved, you know, they're the worst, according to him, you know, as far as they're not acting like Christ. And so we can't call them Christian because they would have to walk like Christ, talk like Christ, have the attitude of Christ, and in everything be the way that Christ would be. Does he qualify? Who would that be? If someone were to walk, talk, act, have the attitude of Christ in every area, guess what? They'd be Christ at that point. No one is that perfect. So this guy is just setting the bar ridiculously high, saying that unless you are just walking in this super Christ-like walk, you're not worthy to be called a Christian. And so he can't call hardly anybody in this whole world a Christian. You know, the Bible says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. But according to him, I guess it's not enough just to be a believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, to be Christian. You know, he just has this bizarre standard that you have to be Christ-like in every area. And he's just not seeing it. What a weird doctrine.
You know, and we don't see that a lot today. We were talking about, who was that preacher we were talking about that used to preach against TV and all that type of stuff? Lester Roloff, yeah. He's part of the old school preachers. Those are the guys that I would look at and say, yeah, those are Christians. But I don't see people like that these days.
So he has to pull out a preacher who passed away decades ago, some ancient preacher from the past. You know, I mean, that's the kind of guy that I would call a Christian, but I don't see that today. So, you know, he can't look at today's preachers and call any of them Christian. He can't call God's people Christians because there's nothing's good enough. No one's good enough except these mystical, ancient, old IFBs of the past. Well, here's the thing. If Lester Roloff were alive today and this guy actually knew him, then he would find all the things wrong with Lester Roloff. He would find all of Lester Roloff's faults, and then he wouldn't be able to call him a Christian either. I mean, this guy is just, everywhere he looks, he just apparently has disgust for men of God and God's people. No one's good enough, so he has to dig up somebody from several decades ago. What a weird attitude.
I don't see people separated and preaching hard against sin.
You don't see people separated and preaching hard against sin? There are thousands of Baptist pastors that are separated and that preach hard against sin. You know, this guy is just so pompous and full of himself that he just looks with disgust on just hundreds of men of God preaching the word of God, preaching hard on sin. He's just, well, nobody's doing it. Nobody's preaching hard on sin. Yes, they are. That's ridiculous. He's probably just looking in the wrong places. And it sounds like he's just arrogant to just look down on everyone so much.
Because didn't Christ do that? I mean, he, when he dealt with a sinner, he had mercy and compassion on them. But when he dealt with someone that was supposed to be a spiritual person that was sinning, he was hard on them. We deal with this world, we're supposed to have compassion for them and love for them and try to reach them for Christ. But with each other, we got to be, we know better. Hey, you know better than this. Come on now. This is what the Bible says. Let's get our act together. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We need to act like Christ, like Christians. but we see that the world has gotten into a lot of these false teaching, like the repentance is not part of salvation. The one thing that came to my mind immediately listening to watching the first two videos that were sent to me was is that he has it all wrong. He does not understand what repentance and its place with salvation. Because let me ask you this. Before you were saved, did you understand sin?
Yes, I did. Yes.
No, you didn't. You
yeah,
didn't have the Holy Spirit inside you to say, hey, that's wrong, right?
So according to this guy's foolish, unbiblical doctrine, unsaved people don't know that sin is wrong. They don't have the Holy Spirit telling them that sin is wrong. Well, first of all, he's wrong about that because in John chapter 16, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin, even those that don't believe on him. But listen to this from Romans chapter 2, okay? Romans chapter 2 says in verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So that right there says that the Gentiles, which have not the law, they have the law of God written in their hearts because their conscience shows them that these things are wrong. I mean, does this guy actually believe that unsaved people don't know that stealing is wrong, or that unsaved people don't know that murder is wrong, or that adultery is wrong, or all? I mean, this is ludicrous. All over the world, people, whether they're Christian or not, they know that lying's wrong. They know stealing and murder and theft are all wrong. People all over the world get married and practice monogamy without getting it necessarily from the Word of God, because we have the law of God written in our hearts. As human beings, we have a conscience. We as human beings know the difference between right and wrong. According to this guy, you have to be saved before you realize that these things are sin, or that you think they're, you just think everything's okay before you get saved. This is some squirrely doctrine that he's teaching. It's not biblical. I just read for you from Romans chapter 2 and quoted from John 16, showing that the Bible teaches the opposite. You know, when the Comforter's come, he'll reprove the world of sin. But even besides hearing the Bible preached or getting saved, people already know just by nature, their conscience tells them that stealing, murder, adultery, these things are wrong.
So you were constantly just living life, doing what you thought was best. And then God showed up and said, hey, that's wrong.
Wow, what a revelation. Stealing's wrong. Murder's wrong. Adultery's wrong. Wow. Most people already knew that before they heard the gospel.
That took a change of mind. You had to change your mind saying, okay, that is wrong. I am a sinner. And then the part where this is a price for sin, that Jesus paid that price and that we had to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The first part for you to realize you're a sinner is absolutely necessary. You understand? And for you to realize it's wrong and say, okay, I know that I was wrong. I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. I need to repent of my sins. I need to turn away from it. This is wrong. And I know it now.
Okay, so do you see how he moved the goalpost there? First, he starts out just saying, well, you have to admit that you're a sinner. You know, you have to admit that sin's wrong. Okay. And that's repent of your, so that means you have to turn from your sins. These are two very different things. Okay. Knowing that sin is wrong is a lot different from not doing those things. So, for example, someone could know that stealing is wrong and still steal. Okay. So lying, we all know it's wrong, but yet people still lie even though they know that's wrong. He is telling this bizarre story that basically you don't realize that sin is wrong. Then when you hear the gospel, all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I'm going to change my mind. I used to think adultery was okay. Now I think it's wrong. I used to think murdering was okay, but now I think murdering's wrong. And so now I'm going to turn from that. I mean, this guy is just talking complete nonsense. He's not making any sense if you're listening to what he's saying.
You get what I'm saying? That change of mind is your repentance, because now you realize this is wrong.
So according to him, repent of your sins, is changing your mind and realizing that sin is wrong. Okay? That's what he's saying. Listen to what he says.
I mean, if you were doing something continually, think it was right, and then all of a sudden you realize it was wrong, most people would be like, okay, I shouldn't do that anymore. Right? And that's what repentance is. and that's what he doesn't realize. He thinks that if we're saying repentance, that means that we got to be good enough to go to heaven. And that's not what we're saying. When repentance is not being good enough to go to heaven. It's not saying that you have to leave your sin to go to heaven. It's that changing of the mind saying, hey, that is wrong. Once you realize it's wrong, you know that you're in debt now to that sin. Once you understand there's that debt, then realizing that debt has been paid, now you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is what the whole plan of salvation is about. It's to get you to realize that you're a sinner. It's to realize there's a price for sin. It's to realize that Jesus Christ paid for that sin, and then accept Jesus as your Savior. And that's the whole plan of salvation. And he is trying to cut off the first part of that.
So notice what he just accused me of. He's claiming that the plan of salvation is to admit that you're a sinner, realize there's a penalty for sin, realize that Jesus Christ paid the penalty, and call upon the Lord for salvation. And he said that I'm cutting off the first part of that. Okay, well, here's the invitation to our church that we hand out door to door. And it has the plan of salvation on the back, which has been pretty much the same exact plan of salvation for the last 15 years. And let's look at the steps on here. Point one, admit you are a sinner. Point two, realize the penalty for sin. So what exactly is this lying slanderer accusing me of leaving out when this is my plan of salvation? Anyone who's watched any of my soul winning demonstration videos, Bible Way to Heaven videos, sermons where I teach people how to go soul winning, seminars I've done on soul winning, I always start out by showing people that they're a sinner and that because of our sin, we deserve to go to hell. So what am I leaving out according to this liar? He's claiming that I left off the first half. He's claiming that point one doesn't exist and point two doesn't exist. But you can see it right there with your own eyes. And you could look up any sermon that I've ever preached or any soul winning demonstration. And he claims that I'm accusing him of saying that repentance means, you know, cleaning up your life or being good enough. I've never accused this guy of anything in my life because I don't even know this guy's name. I don't even know who this guy is.
Well, yeah, he accused people like us.
No, you're the false accuser, buddy, because you lied and said that I left out the first couple points from the plan of salvation when I didn't. And look, if this guy's telling the truth, that he just believes that the only repentance that's required of sin is that people just have to, you know, realize that sin is wrong and admit that sin is wrong, there'd be no problem with that. I believe you have to admit that you're a sinner to be saved. I mean, if you don't admit that you're a sinner, what are you even being saved from? You wouldn't even realize that there's even a need to be saved unless you realize that you're damned because of your sins. So yeah, obviously we have to admit that we're a sinner, but this guy is trying to create this straw man claiming that I don't believe that or that I don't teach that. This guy's talking nonsense. The repent of your sins salvation that I preach against are people that actually say that you have to turn from your sins. Like, you're not going to live with your girlfriend anymore. You're not going to drink anymore. You're not going to steal anymore. You're not going to lie anymore. That you're going to make some kind of a commitment to follow Christ with your life. I said that that's a works-based salvation. If it's based on turning over a new leaf and cleaning up your life or being willing to change and make changes in your life, that's a false doctrine because salvation is by faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And the Bible says in Jonah 3:10 that when they turned from their evil way, that was works. But what is this guy talking about? This guy basically accuses me of preaching against what I've preached consistently for the last 15 years, even on the back of our invite. It's in black and white. It's on any message or any soul winning that I've ever done. And so this guy is just completely out to lunch with this. Unbelievable.
If you don't realize you're a sinner, then how are you going to realize that you're in debt?
Amen.
If you don't realize there's a debt, what does it matter to you that Jesus died for you? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So you're nullifying the whole plan of salvation by saying that repentance is not part of it.
See how he moves the goalpost? First of all, I didn't say repentance isn't part of it. Because there is a repentance where someone, for example, turns from not believing in Christ toward believing in Christ. Or where someone turns from being Catholic and trusting in their works to now repenting from dead works and putting their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Someone has to turn from Hinduism to Christianity. Repent of Buddhism to turn to Christianity. Because you can't be both Hindu and Christian. And so I'm not saying that repentance isn't part of salvation. I'm saying that repenting of your sins is not part of salvation. Because if you have to turn away from your sins or make a commitment to turn away from your sins in the future, that is a works-based salvation. That's not a free gift if you have to do the work of cleaning up your life and going through some kind of a process of purging sin out of your life or saying, well, I'm going to stop doing this sin. Like you're making some bargain with God. Like, well, I'll stop sinning, but you got to give me salvation. Folks, no, salvation's a free gift. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, you don't have to make some kind of a commitment about your life. You don't have to give up any specific sins or give up sin in general because, you know, that's a process. We're always constantly going to be growing and growing closer to Christ and getting sin out of our life. So anyway, this guy just attacked me with a total straw man.
You get what I'm saying? And this is the teaching that we have today. And this is where, you know, as I told said person that sent me the video, that, you know, we just got to mark them. We can't focus on them. We can't, you know, say, oh, you know, try to sit there and battle against them and everything. We got to mark them. And we got to flee from the foolishness and teach people the correct way, teach them the Bible. Because if I spent all my time trying to battle Steve Anderson, what time am I going to spend trying to reach others for Christ or teach this church about the proper way of living the Christian life? You get what I'm saying? I'll warn you guys about Steve Anderson, saying, hey, he's a heretic, to stay away from him. And if you guys have any questions later on, you know, my dad, myself, we could sit down and talk to you about it. But it's not something that I need to focus on. I need to sit here and, oh, and let me study everything that he's saying, everything he's doing, so that, because then we're going to take our focus off of what is
important. Hey, you know, I don't need to be checking everything he's saying, studying everything. He just admitted to us that he literally was up in the middle of the night watching a whole bunch of my videos. Because he said, well, the first two videos I watched, X, Y, and Z. When he was woken up at 12:30 in the morning with a text message of videos of mine, how many did he watch? I mean, if he talks about the first two, what did he watch? Three, four, five? So he's up in the middle of the night watching my sermons, just, but he's like, oh, it's not like I'm, you know, listening to everything he says or anything. Well, tell us what else you're not doing.
You get what I'm saying? So we need to focus on ourselves, because that's the first thing that we need to get taken care of and get right. Because if we can get our hearts right, then we can help other people, right?
Amen.
So if we get away from the sin, and we're not continuing sin so that grace may abound, and we're not living in sin any longer, so that we can try to live according to the Scripture, and again, just in case Steve Anderson happens to watch this, I'm not talking about this for salvation. This is about our Christian life now. This is about having a walk with God.
So I guess he's afraid that I'm going to accuse him of teaching a wrong method of salvation. But guess what? I never accused him of that. He got up and said that you have to just admit that you're a sinner and just admit that sin is wrong. And then just trust Christ. I mean, sounds to me like the guy's probably saved. I'm not saying that the guy has a wrong plan of salvation. I don't think he should use the term repent of your sins because it doesn't mean what he thinks it means. He's just using it to mean admit you're a sinner. He should probably speak more clearly and just say, hey, admit that you're a sinner. Realize that you've sinned. Realize the penalty for your sin. But this guy is accusing me of teaching a wrong plan of salvation. He's a complete liar. Here's the evidence. But then he turns around. He's like,
you know, in case you're watching this, Stephen Anderson, you know, I'm talking about after you say, don't, you know, it's like, don't be falsely accusing me now.
It's like, hey, buddy, right back at you. Okay, so here's another clip just for grins from the same sermon. It's just a short one.
Because the Democrats and the devil keeps bringing in a division amongst us and causing problems. They'll send their secret agents. That's why the Jesuits have their undercover agents that will go into churches and try to destroy. And that was one of the concerns about a family that left here recently, that they might have been an undercover agent, if not for the Catholic Church, for Steve Anderson, which, who knows, maybe Steve Anderson is part of the Catholic Church trying to destroy everything, you know? And you never know. That's why we got to mark the false teachers and then isolate them, get them away from people, because...
I mean, who knows? Maybe Pastor Anderson's Catholic. Maybe Pastor Anderson's a Hindu. I mean, who knows, right? And maybe if people left our church, it's because they were actually secret agents from the Jesuit, you know. And it's funny, you know, this church, people sent me pictures of it and everything. This guy, of course, accused me of having a small church, but or whoever the other guy was, because this is a different guy, but it's the same church apparently. And, you know, he's got this really small church, but I guess he just thinks that, like, in a smoke-filled room in the Vatican somewhere, they're just like, we need to send some agents into Lookout Mountain Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and, you know, see what they're up to, you know, out at Lookout Mountain is public enemy number one for the Vatican. You know, I mean, what, paranoid much? Delusions of grandeur? Like, this guy thinks that just because somebody left his church, that they must have been some secret agent for the Vatican or secret agent of Stephen Anderson. Like, I'm just, like, sending people out, like, I need you guys to infiltrate Lookout Mountain Baptist Church. And I've got my people infiltrating churches all over the place. See what they're up to. I mean, this guy sounds like a paranoid loon. What a weirdo to just make this accusation. Here's an idea. Maybe people left your church because your preaching's boring, or because it's unbiblical, or because you're not making any sense. Maybe that's why they left. But anyway, no substance, bunch of false accusations, easily debunked, but what a clown. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day.
I'm trying to think what the number is. It's like 700 people in a cage, which is only supposed to hold 80.